News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN News Time. It is 6:37 here on your Friday morning. Very special guest in the studio with us, a young man who goes to Huntsville High and has written a piece for AL.com, and the piece is about their social media spying program at Huntsville City Schools. Brave guy. I mean, brave guy writing a piece about the school system he is currently in. That's pretty brave. Drew Pendergrass. Drew, thank you very much for being here. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Get a little bit closer. Just a little bit closer to that mic and you'll be fine. Let's talk first before we get into the piece you've written. Tell everyone a little bit about you.
I go to Huntsville High. I'm a junior. I take newspaper, and that's how I was able to write the article. Kind of a normal kid.
Okay, perfect. I think that's a perfect thing. Huntsville High, you are a junior?
Junior
at Huntsville High, so there you go. All right, let's talk a little bit about this program here that before we get into the things you wrote. Let's talk a little bit about the program. When you talk to your friends at school, and you guys are having a conversation, and you learn that the superintendent and the school board in Huntsville are looking at your social media stuff. They're spying on it, as it's been reported. How does that conversation go? Just talk me through how, when you guys first found out, what was everyone saying?
Mostly it was a little bit of shock. People were surprised, especially when it was that they weren't just spying on students when they were using their laptops. It was on personal accounts, on personal devices, and that was a little bit shocking.
Okay, were they like, oh my, we better go delete this, or I need to go delete that, maybe I shouldn't say that, I definitely won't say this in the future, any of that stuff?
A little bit. I think most of the time people post pretty innocuous stuff on their social media.
So. I think so, too. Now, was it believed, because in the general public it was believed early on, that there was some sort of program where they were just gathering, and they were just like with the NSA, that they were gathering everything and somehow analyzing it and picking out things to look at here and there. Was that the belief?
I think that was the belief, yeah. Especially after the NSA monitoring and all this mass surveillance, people were kind of expecting it from everyone.
Okay, and then it came out a couple days later that's not really the case. The reality is, and AL.com, I think, screwed this up, and I don't know if you saw this before you wrote your piece, but AL.com screwed their story up. And the reporter, Challen Stevens, you said you read my blog, he acknowledged, I don't know if you read the comments, but in the comments, he acknowledged you're right. They took out two paragraphs, and the two paragraphs basically say, we react to tips from parents, teachers, whatever. The NSA side, I think, still gives us that big umbrella that people are kind of under, like, oh, my God, you know, this is like a giant big government program. Did you know that before you wrote your piece?
I think I read Casey Wardinsky's response to it before. So I did see that we only survey about 3% of students. But I think that my commentary remains relevant.
I agree with that. But the only reason I bring that up is because, and this is the problem when the press screws things up, there's that first narrative, and then it's impossible to change. No matter what happens, it's impossible to change. Example, during the 2012 election, you know, Harry Reid came out on the floor. I was just talking about him. Again, Harry Reid came out on the floor and said, I don't think Mitt Romney's paid his taxes. That's why he doesn't want to release his tax returns. And then that sort of became a narrative. Why does he want to release his tax returns? He hasn't paid his taxes. Well, it's hard to work that narrative back. So once it starts, there's sort of thing. But, okay, so you read Wardinsky. Wardinsky came out and said, look, that's not the case. We're only reacting to tips. Is that unreasonable? I mean, do you think that's unreasonable to react when someone calls and says, you know, so-and-so has a gun on their Facebook page, or so-and-so is saying they're going to get in a fight at school? Is it unreasonable for them to then go look at that information?
I do not think it's unreasonable. I think if I was in Casey Wardinsky's position, I would be working with all the information that I had. It's a little worrying, I guess, but it's still, I think, within his power, and he has the right to do it.
Here's what you wrote. After the tragedy at Columbine and the all too common suicides of teenagers bullied online, the schools can and should work to protect students from these threats. However, spying on students' social media and private lives is not the best way to do this. After all, the persona that anyone presents online is different than the person they are inside. The school should take a stronger approach in looking at the psychological well-being of the students to catch depression and other problems before they burst into tragedy. Now, you get into a couple of things, and we'll talk about them in a second, what you suggest there. But it sounds to me like you would prefer that they figure out what's going on with the kids, but not look at their social media where they might be putting some of this information out.
My emphasis was on prevention. So if you can prevent someone from posting that sort of thing on social media, it is way more effective in both protecting the student and protecting their future, and it prevents these tragedies. So maybe if there was more prevention, more helping kids, there would be less need to look at social media.
You say monitoring social media addresses all the right problems in the wrong way. And by the time the student is bringing a gun to school or considering suicide, there will have been a dozen points where an adult could have given that student a kind word, referred them to receive extra help, or take action to stop the harassment or put the student in a better home. You talk about doing this, and I jump to one paragraph. I'm going to go back to your other one. By reducing class sizes and increasing actual contact with caring teachers who are trained and paid to look for problems in students, more people will voluntarily come forward and ask for help before they do something they cannot undo. You know, the shrinking of class sizes is something I think everybody wants, and there's the cost of doing so that comes with all these things. And I think it's, you know, it's, I don't want to say naive because I don't think that's the right word, but I don't think it's right that the teachers who deal with you, you have, what, seven teachers a day? And your seven teachers have 25 kids in each class, and they've got all these kids. It's kind of impossible for them to look each one of them. I mean, sure, they'll catch the ones that are glaring problems. But just like with you and your friends, you have friends that have problems that you don't really know about, and they see them way less than that. It's kind of unreasonable, isn't it, to ask that the teachers be able to pick out all the problem children as they're being problem children?
It's very difficult, and that's why I think that the only way that a teacher would be able to catch things like this would be with training in smaller classes so that they could more effectively look at each student. It would be very difficult to implement, and it would not be the easiest thing to do, but I think that that is the best way to solve this problem.
I mean, ideally in a perfect world, mm-hmm. right? In a perfect world, we'd have teachers who were highly trained in spotting these problems, and they'd have 10 kids in the class, but again, this isn't a perfect world. Should they not be expelling kids from the schools who have, let's say, shown guns on their Facebook page with threatening messages? Is that an error by the school system?
I think that there needs to be more of an emphasis on individual cases rather than a large umbrella policy. Sometimes I know that one kid, Asil, who was on AL.com, was expelled because of joking, threatening messages, and he acknowledged that that was a really
stupid
dumb thing to do.
Yeah,
definitely, but he was not the sort of kid that should have been expelled. So if they emphasized individual cases, perhaps that would have prevented.
He wasn't expelled for the jokes, though. The jokes led, and here's what he wrote. He wrote on his Facebook page or his Twitter account, "I'm going to chop my teacher in the throat."
Yeah.
Now, again, apparently that had something to do with that teacher who jokingly, I guess, tells kids, "Be quiet, I'm going to chop you in the throat," or whatever. And he also made a joke about getting in a fight or something like this. And I've talked to people who know him and say, he's a good kid. You know, there's no problem here. The problem is that brought them to – that stuff probably would not have got him suspended. Might probably got him an or expelled. It probably would have got him like an in-school suspension or something like that. Then they go to his car to continue the investigation, and they find a knife. Now, whether or not that knife was – a bejeweled Renaissance fair knife or a blade from one of the, you know, chicken plants here in town where they're serrating bones and or meat off the bones. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter once they have it. The school systems have this zero tolerance. Once they have it, he's going to be expelled. I mean, that's just the way it is. So he wasn't necessarily expelled for the words. It set the wheels in motion. Now, some of these other cases they've shown, and I saw one where all the stuff was redacted, the case Wardinsky showed me, a woman or a young girl at Grissom High, air gun in her hand, posts the picture while she is at school. She's in the school with this air gun, posts the picture. She has it near her mouth. I don't understand it either. With near her mouth, apparently somebody saw this, notified the school. The school looks on the computer and finds this girl's in school. So this picture was clearly posted from inside school. They go and find her. She has this thing in her bag. So Is that appropriate?
I think that was a very appropriate response. I mean, that is very extreme. That doesn't happen very often, but yes, that was the appropriate response.
I agree. That's why there's only been 20 people expelled from the school on stuff like this, and I don't think it's for their words. It's more or less from their actions. You mentioned spying into their private lives. This is one of the things you mentioned early on in the article, and I want to make sure I get your words right. However, spying on social media and private lives is not the best way to do this. If you post something on Facebook or Twitter and your page is not private, is it your private life?
No, and that's right. But this was more focused on when people were still thinking that maybe it was all-inclusive.
Umbrella. Okay.
I did read the Casey Wardinsky before reading this, but it was still thought that maybe it was larger than he was letting on.
Okay.
But,
so would your angle be different had you bought, I mean, what Casey Wardinsky was saying and still not thought that maybe it's a big umbrella? And I guess a follow-up question to that is, do the kids at your school still think it's the big umbrella? That's sort of with called an octopus, right? With tentacles going into everywhere and into your private lives.
People do not keep up with media very much. I mean, we're in high school.
Right.
So I think the original story, like you said, is kind of the thing that stays. But
so the program as it is set up, you don't really have a problem with it. If we find out that they're lying and they're going into your private Facebook pages, we're all going to have a problem with that.
What it is right now is not, I don't think it's the ideal solution, which is what I talk about in my article, but I also do not think it is entirely wrong.
Okay, when we come back, we'll get to what your ideal solution is. I'll let you say, I won't read any more from your article. I will let you tell the audience yourself exactly what you believe the ideal solution is in this case. Stay tuned. More Drew Pendergrass. He wrote this story for AL.com. He is a 16-year-old junior from Huntsville High. Stay tuned, folks. Stay tuned. Dale Jackson Show, live and local. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. News Time, 6:53. Here on your Friday morning, State Senator Arthur Orr will be with us here in the 7 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. Right now we got Drew Pendergrass. He is here. He is a Huntsville High 16-year-old. He is a junior, and he's written a piece at AL.com. It's interesting. It's interesting. We've talked a lot about the social media and some of the stuff that he didn't write about just because I know that's the issue. Now, you got into a couple of things in here, and I know you've done research on a bunch of other issues. We were just talking about the Brown versus Board of Education, or you wrote about Brown versus Board of Education. We've talked about the desegregation case. It seems like your article says, and I'm going to paraphrase, and then you can tell my audience what it actually says. It seems like your article is saying, look, there are problems here in the schools. Maybe social media isn't the way to do it. Maybe one-on-one interaction with the kids is the way to do it because there's all this other stuff happening. And you could catch these problems prior to becoming an issue. And it seems like you're dealing more with the suicides and maybe bullying and things like this, not necessarily guns and violence and stuff like that. Am I accurate?
Well, I think guns and violence and suicide come from the same problems of depression and just problems at home. These same things all seem to accumulate in acts of violence, either that harm yourself or harm others.
And what exactly do you think, if Casey Wardinsky said to you, Drew, okay, I read your piece, what is the one thing you want me to take away from this? What is the one thing you would like me to take from your piece?
I think more support for teachers. Just more support on the side of caring for students. There's a lot of support on the educational, here's some curriculum that you can use that's from all these organizations, but there is not enough support for teachers when it comes to the very difficult job of caring for kids as they are going through this point in their lives.
Do you think there's more emphasis on punishment than there is prevention? I mean, that's what I take from it.
That is my big point. I think there needs to be more emphasis on prevention, less on punishment.
Okay, you're right. Teenagers are not hard to understand. We're under heavy pressure to succeed in an uncertain and changing world, and this can be stressful, even when students don't admit it, no matter how many benchmarks we pass or metrics we measure well in, nothing changes the fact that we are human and often fail and get sad or lonely. I mean, I read that, and this is what I thought initially, and I'll tell you exactly what I thought. I thought, wow, this guy doesn't understand that 80% of your peers are going to graduate with you. Okay, 80% of Americans generally graduate. 80% of Americans get through this and have already done all of this. I mean, it's kind of melodramatic, right?
Well, perhaps for places like Huntsville High and Grissom, it's a little over the top. But for places like Butler and Johnson, where the graduation rate is only 30%, mm-hmm. that is a huge issue, and students really need to be helped in that area.
The question, I guess, all becomes pretty boiled down to this. Can the school system take these kids who are having these problems at home in those systems, in those schools, and can they basically bring them up to the level of people that go to Huntsville High or Grissom that you mentioned and have parental involvement? I mean, your father's sitting right here, who have parental involvement and who are actually heavily involved in these things. Can the school do that, and is that the school's job?
Well, the schools are responsible for the students for over 7 hours a day. They are responsible for the well-being of the students that are enrolled in their school. But that said, it is very, very difficult to solve the problems that you just mentioned. There are so many debates going on about how the best way to do this. A lot of students do not have parents involved. I am very lucky to have my dad here. But a lot of students are not that lucky.
And the bigger point is what they're doing here is actually sort of getting involved in the stuff that's going on outside the schools, and people are criticizing them for it. I mean, do you understand that seems kind of there's a yin and a yang here? You're criticizing them for getting involved in their private lives, and then on the other hand, you want them more involved in their private lives. Is that fair? Is that a fair criticism?
I think that the way they're involved in private lives right now is very punitive and not welcomed by the students. No student wants to be expelled. I mean, no student wants to have that.
Correct.
But they do. I think everyone kind of wants to have, or needs to have, I should say, a role model.
That's the key right there. They need, this is what is needed as opposed to what they want. I mean, when I was in high school, I didn't want to deal with my teachers either. And I didn't want to deal, especially didn't want them knowing my innermost thoughts that I'm posting all over all over the internet. Didn't have it at the time. But you guys do, which I think actually gives them more insight. I mean, some would argue the point you're making is they should be more involved. Maybe they should be doing this big dragnet and just doing it in a less punitive way. And if they find kids who are sad about stuff, maybe they should pull them in and sit them down and say, hey, what's bothering you, champ?
I think that one thing that really needs to be emphasized is having students come forward themselves. Students come forward of their own accord, and that can be achieved by a stronger relationship with teachers.
Okay, Drew Pendergrass, interesting article that you've written here. It's at AL.com. We appreciate you taking the time to come in here and talk to us. You know, I'll tell you this, I'll be honest with you. I ask AL.com writers all the time to come in here, and they won't. But for some reason, a 16-year-old kid will come in here and talk, and I appreciate it. Good luck in everything you do. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.